Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Nice to see so many here and official welcome joining us. Yay.
Good morning, Jason. Yeah, I already did.
And we have Ann on remotely with us. And I guess we're going to hopefully be here next week for Easter.
Stepped away from the camera to go find a palm tree to get herself a palm.
I want to see her climb the tree.
We want the video of that, right?
I want the video of that.
Yeah, we do.
I think she took herself off a camera for that.
Anyway, since we have our palm branch, our first hymn, you may not wave your palm branch and use your hymn book at the same time, but this would be a great one to use your palm branches with. Hosanna, loud Hosanna, 278 in your hymn book.
Sunday morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everyone here this morning. Pastor and I usually start when she sits down. She's already sat down.
So, I think we wore her out yesterday, so she was already sitting down.
Probably.
She did a lot.
Huge thank you to all of you, everyone
yes,
who lent a hand along the way yesterday. It's just a wonderful day.
Good segue. So I had a big thank you. And everyone that helped her, a lot of them's here today. If I start mentioning names, I'll leave someone out, so I'm not going to do that. So I just decided I'm going to call them helpers.
Panda wagged her tail so hard that she went home and slept for hours.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think Kyla did, too.
Oh, my.
In that order? Yes, for those of you that weren't able to make it yesterday, what a great event we had here. Like yeah. I said, with the planning of her helpers, probably 30 to 40 children mm-hmm. were here.
And parents church. Had a few babes in arms. And
yep, we had babies. We had babies to 92.
Yeah, it was great. To sit in the back of the sanctuary and watch the littlest, the 3 and 4 year olds Easter egg hunt. We had it in the pew. So if you find a plastic egg, just bring it up front. They didn't get them all. We found a few this morning.
And if you turn in your egg, you get candy.
That's right. I got mine already.
But it was really just a wonderful, wonderful day. The parents and kids all had a ball. The craft room was packed. The crafts were really appreciated. The kids loved them. And we borrowed the big plastic Connect 4 from the library, had that outside, and sack races, which the kids had never heard of, and they had a blast once they figured out. They loved it. The pastor had a wonderful idea for how, so the little ones were in here, and the two big kids were groups were outside in our grassy area at the playground. And Pastor had a brilliant idea that because it was the grass, if we'd set them out ahead of time, they would have seen where they all were. So instead, we filled the grocery bags with all the plastic eggs, and we had the kids stand in the perimeter around their area, and then when he gave the signal, they all just threw all their eggs into their area. It was like an egg explosion. The kids thought it was wonderful. It was a hoot and a half. And then they all got to rush in with their same bags and collect them all. So that worked out brilliantly. The kids loved it. And we actually had our prize table up here across the doorways there. So the kids came up one stairway, went across the prize table, got their stuff, and went down the other stairway. And our pastor cooked about 60 hot dogs,
60. I think,
and brought his popcorn making machine. That was popular. We had tons of bags of popcorn. So anyway.
I was going to say, don't leave out the boys that intentionally on the side got into egg fights and threw the eggs at each other.
Well, yes, they were that too.
But they didn't throw them at the girls.
That's good. But we also had a family having their, like a family meal in our fellowship hall, and that actually worked out wonderfully too. Their kids, their grandkids all came out and were part of the Easter egg hunt, and it was very formal. They didn't mind that we were doing our thing. We didn't mind they were doing their thing. It just added to the community spirit, and called me last night and said that their family just had such a wonderful time being part of that. And they also loved our space. They thought it was just such a welcoming, comfortable space. They just felt right at home, almost like if they were in their own house. And they just loved it there, in fact.
Yeah, they enjoyed the thing so much. They passed a hat around the room and kicked in a couple $100.
For our outreach.
Take this
efforts.
For your outreach.
Yeah, they said, we love what you're doing.
They asked. That's in addition to paying to use the room. They just passed the hat around spontaneously.
They said, we love what you're doing. Here's for your outreach fund.
That's awesome.
Wow. And they left us about 2 dozen cookies downstairs, which they said we were welcome to eat on the way out, as well as a thank you note. And
hear
they
that,
also
Mary?
Left us some paper towels.
Hear that?
They cleaned the bathrooms. I mean, they were it was a great group to have here. And
It was.
The other part of the day, if you don't mind me mentioning, the other part of the day is, again, these eggs, we borrowed them from the town. We needed to get them all back to return them to the town. So there was somebody came up with a clever idea of, like, let's not put the candy in the eggs. Let's ransom, do a prisoner exchange. If you collect the eggs and if you turn them in, we'll give you your candy. So that was all well and good logistically. But then Pastor came up with a little, like, three-sentence Bible message, Jesus message of, can anybody tell me why the eggs are empty? Well,
that was me, not Lynn. But anyway, the pastor came up with this wonderful message of how come the eggs are empty? The eggs are empty like the tomb was empty on Easter morning. And I must have heard, I showed up late for other reasons, but I must have heard a half a dozen times kids telling each other, telling their moms, telling their dads, telling anybody who would listen, how come the eggs are empty? The eggs are empty because Jesus had risen from the tomb on Easter morning.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
thank you, Pastor. That was brilliant.
I was going to mention that also to, I don't know, 5, 6, 7-year-olds talking. And the one opened it up and it goes, but they're empty. And the other one said, it's because Jesus wasn't in the temple. The other one goes, no, he wasn't in the tomb.
It doesn't mean there wasn't candy.
Right.
Oh, and also,
they got the idea going. They knew what they were talking about.
And also, a lot of our supplies were given to us by the village of Chesterville. They had a huge stash room, and they used to do this years ago. All our signage, the giant tote of 600 plastic eggs. So they were really generous. And actually, our mayor, Bev Mosher, was here all day running around and doing stuff with the kids, too. So it's really nice, I think, between Christmas and here, we've started a good collaboration with the village because we're both small, but we can do really neat things together. So in so many ways, it was just a really wonderful day.
And for those of you that haven't seen the t-shirts, I had hers on yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
These are our church t-shirts.
And it's got a little one up front.
Right.
And that really helped just for visibility yesterday when people were wandering around. They knew who was with the church who they could ask questions to and so forth. So that was really good. We bought a handful of them for the folks who were actually sort of pitching in, helping out yesterday. We're happy to do another order if you're interested in one. We'll figure it out.
I just need a panda.
To our announcements, today is Palm Sunday. We will have Holy Communion. I was going to say bring Easter flowers if you would like, but it looks like we're getting a good bit.
Now we can have a second row, right?
Yeah, we'll start another row if needed. This Thursday, we have Maundy Thursday service here at 6. And then next Sunday, of course, is Easter Sunday, and we'll have Holy Communion that Sunday. Want to welcome our guests? Feel free to worship with us today. Any other announcements?
Well, we're going to welcome the members.
Yes, we would.
Where's the little one?
Here. Can you guys come up here just for a quick second, please? Just a little bit of heads up for those who have not been with us before. We view church membership here at Chesterville Community Church as not a commitment for any singular purpose, but so that we can all become a family of God and serve one another and care for one another. So if you're interested in becoming a member here, it comes with no signatures required. It comes with no expectations other than allowing us to share Christ with you, and you do the same in reverse. And they were the newest or the first to walk through our doors. We were concerned as a church about not having a children's ministry, and here we have our children's ministry. She has been just a wonderful addition, as have her parents, to our congregation. So they are just full of heart, this family, and I can't say enough good things about them. So we welcome them, and if they will permit me, I'm going to pray for them, and then we'll get on with the service. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this family. We thank you for their commitment to us as a church, as individuals, as partners in Christ. We just ask that as we join in membership and partnership together, that we do so with your heart and your vision in mind. Continue to speak through them to us and back to them as well. They are a great addition to this family, and we welcome them here this morning. And we ask all these things in your precious and glorious name. Amen.
Amen.
Before we go to invocation, I'd like to bring something up. You've heard me before talk about the teenage girls. If you have granddaughters or children, they're experiencing a very hard time. You're probably well aware of this, Brian, being in the school system. Basically, social media has wrecked a lot of these girls' lives. I'm not too big on numbers, and I don't want to bore you. Teenage girls, mental health crisis. 60% feel overwhelmed, anxious, or under pressure to be perfect. 50% thought about self-harm. 45% do not feel physically healthy. 30% do not have a trusted adult they can talk to. So if you're around teenage girls, daughter, granddaughter, close friend, neighbor, please let them know you're there for them to have someone to talk to. Please join me in prayer for our invocation. God the Father, I thank you for being with us this morning. as we worship you. Thank you for everyone that has come here today. Ask that they would receive a blessing when they leave. Let your words flow through Pastor David for what we need to hear. On this Palm Sunday, we remember your triumphant entry into Jerusalem. But let us also remember the path that lay before you. Fill our hearts with the humility and faithfulness that you have displayed. Teach us to follow your example, selfless love, to praise you in our hearts and with our lives as we carry our crosses daily. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Amen. Our call to worship this morning is in your insert. Lift up your heads, O gates, the King of glory is coming.
Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
With palm branches and songs of praise, the people welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem.
We welcome you now, Lord Jesus, into our lives, our church, and our world.
Together,
Hosanna in the highest, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth to those for whom his favor rests. We worship you, our coming King.
Amen.
You want to attempt this?
We'll give it a shot.
We're doing something new here.
So hold it back. You can lift it up.
Guest artist.
Bring me
world
back
premiere.
To my old percussion bass.
We tried to get him in his high school band uniform, but Tammy said no.
That's a whole nother story.
Thank you, Tammy.
And I don't think he's seen one of these instruments until right now.
No.
So here we go.
Fine line between a drum and a chair.
It's called a cajon, which in Spanish means big box. It basically
a big box.
A substitute for a drum set that's a lot easier to drag around. And we're going to do All Glory, Lord, and Honor, which of course is in your hymn book. We're going to swing it.
It's on your insert on the back of the call to worship is the version we're thinking.
This is not a hymn that is usually hijacked by the Jazz Dixieland crowd, but we have a recording that just made us bounce, and Pastor, with Tammy's encouragement, Pastor agreed to join us in this, so we'll see how it goes. If it doesn't go good, we'll do it again.
So there are three verses. We'll play it down once. We'll sing the air little instrumental verse between two and three, and then we'll sing the last verse. So.
Please stand and join the people.
Yeah, right from the top.
You are the King.
Pastor, that was
40 years is a long time.
And while we are still standing, we will sing our doxology together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all holy heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Dear gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for these tithes, these offerings, these gifts returned to you for our thank you. We're grateful for our lives, for all you have given to us. As always, we ask that you multiply these funds, that you keep us ever mindful as to their correct and proper use as we attempt to further your kingdom here in our town. We ask that you are with us this Palm Sunday, you're with us this Holy Week, and you meet us here again next week to the celebration of your Son and his victory over death. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Time for concerns and praises from anyone.
It's neither of those, but it should have been more under announcements. Today is birthday for anybody that knows Michaela.
Wow.
And she's about
I hope so too.
She's in her first year of college. She's doing very well. She's working two jobs.
Wow.
She's a sweet young lady.
Yes, she is.
That's awesome.
His granddaughter, for those of you that don't know. Great.
She had a surgery and she's at home recuperating. Everything's good.
Good.
Thursday, they confirmed we had three tornadoes in Marl County, one in Hardin, one in Knox, and one in Marl, which was above Mount Gilead and real close to Chesterville. So we're real lucky.
Got a better report. The vent was pulled out this week that it was on.
We had talked it out and that they had only been part of it. She had decided not to do a second surgery and they were going to go ahead and rebuild part of her breast because she knows that she's going to have a complete mastectomy the next time, basically. But they refused to do that. They're going to go into a really extreme radiation 5 days a week starting in April. And she doesn't have a driver, so I should probably say I pray to God I get strength because she lives in Chillicothe and Circleville. And I live here out in Fredericktown. My husband doing a lot of her driving with brain damage. She gets tired easy. So I do pray for strength for that. Also, I'm taking care of my mom. And she's had at least 15 strokes within the last 6 months. We see no signs of it. We don't even know that she's having. So they don't know what's causing it. They thought AFib, but she has no signs of AFib. Nothing. So we don't know what's causing it. So I've been taking her to the doctors and doing everything we can. So and she's 80. She'll be 84 soon. And they're taking her off certain medications, which is causing her to lose her independence. And she's not happy about that. She won't.
Through a very God orchestrated series of events, I met a friend who we had some problems with our roof on a brand new house, and he was available, answered the call, and came and helped us in a very, very bad bind and pinch. And we got to talking about church and Jesus. Here he is. So I just want to say God is really, really alive and good. So thank you.
How's your dad?
He's doing okay.
It's okay.
If no one else,
The other thing I'd like to pray for, Pastor, is Christians being persecuted around the world. Seems to be an uprising in Syria now, where they're being persecuted, but also all around the world.
Okay. Nobody has anything else? Let's go ahead and pray.
Just one other
friend we know from the music world we just found out this week he had a terrible stroke at the end of December. By the grace of God, survived it, but he's just a few years older than us, and he's home now with lots of sort of lingering symptoms of that, including the very difficult one of his eyelids. He's unable to open his eyelids, so his wife is now sort of full-time caretaker. They actually, the two of them together, own they've just got a world of hurt and problems on their hands, and they're just wonderful, wonderful, believing, faithful, loving people. But in your prayers, if you can, thanks.
All right, now let's pray. Dear Lord, we come to you this day. As believers, this is the start of, I was going to say a tough week for us, but really a tough week in your life. And the fact that you did it knowingly and willingly, when you had all of the power to simply ask for this cup to pass by you. But as you were praying in the garden, you accepted that cup. The cup of pain, the cup of humiliation, the cup of death that is rightfully ours. You accepted. You embraced and you walked forward into the city with your head held high, knowing what was about to happen to you. As I get older, the mere words thank you do not even come close to sharing our gratitude and our love. And what you require of us is that we give ourselves fully to you. God, we thank you for birthday, wonderful young lady. We pray for her and all of the other young ladies who are walking through life as teenagers, as early 20s, as early 30s, in an age of social media that wants to destroy and to tear down. I truly believe that it was a wonderful invention, but it has been hijacked by the enemy. We just ask that you are with all of our children. Care for them, watch over them, love them. We ask that you continue to be with her as she heals from her surgery. We thank you for the loved ones that surround her, that give her care. We got to spend a little time yesterday with her sister. What a wonderful heart those kids have. What wonderful hearts all of those kids had yesterday. as we find in our passage of scripture for today's message, the children are the example set for us on how to love, how to live, how to hug and embrace. I thank you that I was able to be a part of that yesterday, listening to the laughter and the fun, being with the parents as they had a respite for a little bit of time where their kids were occupied, where they were fed, where they were enjoying life. I don't know what any of those kids went home to, but I pray you're with all of those families. You speak love and encouragement, and if they struggle, if they're is a problem in their family, let them know that we are here for more than just Easter egg hunts. We are a church committed to serving our community and serving one another, and most of all, serving you. We just ask that you are with everyone recovering from the tornado damage over the last few weeks here in Morrow County. Morrow County has had two blips on the news in the last several years, and unfortunately one was for the murder of a sheriff deputy. And the other was the destruction caused by tornadoes. Let us, the citizens of Morrow County, remember that we are so much more than the bad news that makes the local news. We're a community of love and care and cooperation. Let us continue to reach out in your name, sharing your love. We're glad that it's doing better. We lift up strokes, all of these who are suffering medically today. We just ask that you reach down, touch them, give them your comfort. And Lord, we also reach out to our brothers and sisters throughout the world who are being persecuted simply because they love you. We ask that you are able to intervene in these situations. You can bring your spirit of cooperation and love to the situation. But in those situations where a believer is persecuted and killed, we just ask that you place them in a special place in heaven. A special place where we in the end times can thank them for their commitment. God, we just ask that you continue to be in the world. When we see situations where you are being excluded and unwelcome, that we step forth as those persecuted believers have done and stand in the gap for you, regardless of the danger it might fall upon us. It's the least we can do for all that you have given to us. And God, as we close, I just ask that you remind us of that prayer. The prayer that we have entitled the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that reminds us of all of the things that you have for us, the way we're supposed to pray for one another, the way we're supposed to think upon ourselves and others. That prayer that goes, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our prayer hymn today is Were You There? 288. And you'll notice in your bulletin we've added a last verse, and we will also be skipping verses 2 and 3 in the hymn book. So this version basically will take us from the crucifixion to the anticipated resurrection while we sing.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there? Were you there when the sun refused to shine? Were you there when the sun refused to shine? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there?
Scripture reading this morning comes from Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 12 through 22, the cleansing of the temple, and I'm going to begin with verse 9. As Jesus was entering Jerusalem, the crowds went ahead of him. They followed him shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." Then Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who were selling and buying in the temple. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to see him in the temple, and he cured them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the amazing things that he did, and heard the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became angry and said to him, "Do you hear what they are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself?'" He left them, went out to the city of Bethany, and spent the night there. In the morning when he returned to the city, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the side of the road, he went to it and found nothing at all on it but leaves. Then he said to it, "May no fruit ever come from you again." And the fig tree withered at once. When the disciples saw it, they were amazed, saying, "How did the fig tree wither at once?" And Jesus answered, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only will you do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' it will be done. Whatever you ask for in prayer with faith, you will receive." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Message this morning is Hosanna to the cross.
Again, I'd like to share that there are a few Sundays of each year where the message sort of writes itself. Obviously, Palm Sunday and Easter, the subject matter is pretty much given. I did want to qualify one thing, though. In the praise that I received for the eggs yesterday, I have to admit something. I was in youth and children's ministry for many, many years, and the thing that threw fear into my heart was 50 kids running to get their eggs, opening them up, and them be empty. So I had to come up with another. In order to save myself from the mutiny of being beat to death by 60 young children who found candyless eggs, we went to Plan B, and it worked very well. So anyways. Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The word Hosanna is more than a cheer in Hebrew. It means save us now, we pray. This is one of the best feeling stories in all of Christianity. I would imagine that if there was one place that I could have been in history, this along these streets would have been one of the top three. Here comes Jesus riding in on a donkey. Wait a minute. That's not what I was taught when I was young. The Messiah was going to come in power, on a white horse, and smite those who have been smiting us for years. And here we see our Messiah riding a donkey. In the beginning, the crowd believed that their moment of deliverance was here. We got him. Let's celebrate. Let's lay our cloaks down. Let's lay palm branches down. Let him ride in comfort. But this king was not coming on a war horse with legions behind him. He was on a young donkey, fulfilling the ancient prophecy that we find in Zechariah 9:9. "Behold, your king will come to you, humble and riding on a donkey." And isn't that really the Messiah that we truly want? I have done enough things in my life that I do not want the warlike Messiah who was looking to make things right in his kingdom, because I would have never made it there. we all deserved the warlike Messiah who cleaned up the mess that we have been causing for years. But yet, he's docile and gentle and full of love and forgiveness and grace, riding into the city, accepting the cheers of the people, not because he deserves them or that he wants them, but because that's part of the plan. They shouted because they had seen the mighty works that he had done. Blind eyes had been opened, lepers were cleansed, storms stilled, bread was multiplied. Surely this was the one who would throw off the Roman oppression, restore David's throne, and make Israel great again. And then you probably saw in the bulletin, I was referencing the story in Luke's account of the triumphal entrance. All four of the Gospels recount this event in one form or another. And they include this interaction where the Pharisees, Jesus is in, and the kids are, "Woo, Jesus!" And the Pharisees, being Pharisees, "Hey, Jesus, why don't you hold those kids at bay?" The old saying, "Kids are to be seen and not heard," was no more relevant than it was back in biblical times. And Jesus says in Luke 19:40, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." Eternity has to praise Jesus for what he has done and who he is. But here is where the story takes a sharp turn. Within days, 5 days exactly, the mood will shift violently. The same city that rang out Hosanna will echo with "Crucify him." The branches of welcome will be forgotten. Thorns will become his crown. The cloaks on the road will be replaced by soldiers' dice, rolling it for the clothes of Jesus. The king they wanted to crown will be nailed to a Roman cross. And yet, here is the astonishing part of Palm Sunday. Jesus rides anyway. He does not detour when he knows the betrayal is imminent. He does not abandon us, but he knows that agony lies ahead. He rides straight into the city of his passion because the true Hosanna, the true "Save Us Now," is about to take place. And it can only be answered on the cross. The crowd wanted salvation on their terms. They wanted political liberation. They wanted national glory. They wanted the end to the Roman taxes and the humiliation that they suffered on a daily basis. But yet Jesus understood that his mission was far greater than that. Jesus came to give salvation on God's terms, liberation from sin and from death, glory revealed in suffering, and an end to the power of darkness itself. They shouted Hosanna, expecting a conqueror. He answered them with a cross, becoming the conqueror who dies and then rises again. So today we must ask ourselves some uncomfortable questions as we hold our branches high. Are we still shouting Hosanna only when Jesus meets our expectations? When life feels triumphant, when prayers are answered the way we want, when the world seems to be bending toward justice on our timetable? Or will we still cry, Hosanna, save us now, when the path leads through disappointment, through loss, through the shadow of the cross? Because the same Lord who accepts our palms on Sunday rode knowingly toward Good Friday. He rides toward every place where hope feels fragile. He rides toward the hospital rooms where diagnoses are grim, toward broken relationships that seem beyond repair, toward nights when faith itself feels paper thin, toward a world still marked by war, injustice, hunger, and fear. And he rides not as a distant king, but as one who has already walked every step of suffering that's ahead of us. So we lift our branches high today, not because everything is already triumphant, but because the humble king who rides in today is the same king who will ride out of the tomb on Easter morning. Hosanna in the highest. Save us now, Lord Jesus. Not always the way we imagine, but always the way we most deeply need it. So that's all great. It's all what we've heard in the past, but I saw something very unique as I reread Matthew's encounter. In the 21st chapter of Matthew, as soon as Jesus enters the city, we see him getting busy. The temple was a place of sacrifice. A sacrifice at the level of your ability, which was tied to your wealth and your position in life, or lack thereof. If you were poor, you would buy a small bird to sacrifice. If you were rich, you would bring in one of your prized animals. And in the midst of that, the ones who were being taken advantage of were the poor, the ones that didn't have the wealth, who had to come in and buy a dove or a pigeon there within the temple courts so they could exercise their sacrifice. And Jesus, seeing his people being taken advantage of, in one of the few times in Scripture, gets angry and turns over the tables of the money changers. My temple, he says, it's a house of prayer, not a den of thieves. And then he goes and he walks and he passes by a fig tree. Full of leaves, bright green leaves. And only imagine he was hungry and he went over to partake of the figs. Nothing. Beautiful on the outside, nothing on the inside. And he curses that fig tree. It withers immediately. Boy, is he mad at that fig tree. But what he's mad at is that the fig trees in the Old Testament were symbols, along with vineyards, of Israel. And what he was warning them, and he's warning us today, 2,000 years later, is we cannot look good on the outside and be dead on the inside. We are of no use to anybody. If our leaves are bright and green and we produce no fruit of any relevance or value to anybody. So what we see in this interaction with the fig tree and the temple and the money changers and the children is that he has an expectation for you and for me and his people Israel that we are to stand firm, to be the bright light on the hill. We are to be alive on the outside, and with his help, indwelled with his spirit, we are to be alive on the inside, serving him for the only purpose that we have been brought to this earth is to worship him and bring as many people with us into glory as possible. Tammy and I talked a little bit about the egg hunt yesterday. We've had some conversation with those who were there planning, have been in the beginning. And I don't think I am speaking out of context that I would say that all of us walking in here at 10 o'clock yesterday morning preparing for the egg hunt with the cold and with the breeze and the chilly temperatures and the lack of preparation time, we hadn't really spent a whole lot of time getting this put together. And I know in the back of my mind, I said to myself, it wouldn't surprise me if nobody was here, but I would like to have some people here. I don't know, maybe in my head I thought, well, if we could get 10 kids, that would be something for the first time we've done it. And then they came. Somebody sees the first car pull in. Hey, we have somebody. Isn't that exciting? And then another car, and another car, and kids running and jamming the front lobby. I'm guessing we had 30 plus kids plus adults. And what I said to myself, or more rightly, what Jesus said to me afterward is, he said, you know, David, if 10 would have come, you and the gang would have high-fived and said, we did a good job. When we had 35 jammed into the front lobby of this church and running in the side yards and chucking their eggs. I think what Jesus said to us was, we did a good job. Jesus requires us to take the steps to move forward, to go in the direction we think he's calling us, and then him being the loving, gracious leader will meet us there. And we'll do more than we can ever ask or imagine. That's the message of Palm Sunday. We're there. We're on the road. We're excited to see Jesus enter the city because of who we think he is. But the beauty of Jesus is, despite all of the wrongness of all of those people on the road as he rode in, he still had a plan that he was going to execute. It only required them to show up. And sometimes we show up incorrectly. Sometimes we're in the crowd yelling, crucify him, because we've been told the lie of the enemy that this really isn't the Messiah. Jesus did not remove the crown of thorns and throw it on the ground and say to us, I'm done with you people. You've missed this ever since I arrived. He walks. He gets beat. He carries his cross until a brother takes it from him and carries it the rest of the way. And he will hang on that cross, so that we have a story to tell. 35 anxious, fun-loving children in Chesterville, Ohio. That there's this man that you will meet that will give you more graciousness and more love than the society can ever, ever imagine. And as we come to this meal today, this meal that he shared with his disciples, the meal that we will share, quite honestly, a number of times over the next week, because this is the demonstration of his love for us, that his body was broken, that his blood was shed, all so that in 2026, we can join together and have an Easter egg hunt where we can share the good news of Christ through empty eggs to our children and to their parents. He's asking us to take that step. That step toward the cross, where he resides waiting for you and for me to meet him in that place where he can join with our excitement, increase our success on his behalf because of who he is in our lives and the lives of this church. Can we pass out the elements, please? And if you're new here, the way we do communion, we'll pass out the bread and the cup, and if you would hold, we will share them together as a family. And as I have shared, the sacrament of communion is one of my favorite traditions that we have in the church. It's one of the things that we do together with other churches. There's other variations of communion. Some take it as we do. Some do what they call intinction, where you take off a piece of the bread and you dip it in the cup and you eat. There are some that have different cups that get passed and different wafers and different styles. But it's one of those traditions that we share universally. And so as we come for this meal today, let us do so remembering that many, many people, even yet this day, are doing the same meal together as well. The other thing I've always loved about communion is that Jesus accepts this act on our behalf, whether we're using Dixie cups or golden chalices. For it's not what's in the cup and the bread, but what it demonstrates and represents to us, him. So the night before he was betrayed, he met with his disciples and he had a meal with them. They sat and they reclined and they shared food together. Again, another important aspect of biblical times. Mealtime was a time of special gathering with those you loved. But this meal was different. At the end of the meal, Jesus took the bread. He lifted it. He said a prayer and he broke it. And he told his disciples, and he's telling us today, to eat. This is his body broken for us. And in the same way, after the meal, he lifted the cup, he gave thanks, and he told us that this was the new covenant in his blood, blood shed for the forgiveness of all of our sins, to drink and be forgiven. And as it says in Corinthians, as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the resurrection and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Will you please pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this meal. This meal that doesn't sustain us physically, but sustains us spiritually. I thank you for this example of your love, a constant reminder of your broken body and your spilled blood shed for my forgiveness, so that upon your return we can all meet in glory for all eternity. We ask all these things in your precious name. Amen.
Our closing hymn today is Rejoice Ye Pure in Heart, 160 in your hymn books.
Please stand.
Hosanna on our lips and the cross in our sight, for he is glorious, powerful, and life-saving. Amen.
Amen.